Mad Money Machine Show 42 Mad Money Machine October 4th, 2006. Hello, everyone. This is Paul Douglas Boyer. Welcome to the Mad Money Machine podcast. I guess we're still calling it podcast. I went to the Podcast and Portable Media Expo this past weekend and got to see the keynote from Leo Laporte of This Week in Tech, and he's changing his to Netcast. I talked to Leo a little bit, and I said, you know, Leo, we have audio, stereo, video, radio, so why not Netio? The Mad Money Machine Netio broadcast. I don't know. I don't know what that's all about. X-ray dogs beneath the bay. I'll have to listen to that more closely. Coming up on this show, I'll tell you a little bit about my experience at the Podcast Expo, and I've got something that I have never done on the Mad Money Machine before. I hope they don't take my house. We've got a book giveaway, and I'm going to talk about a bill that's been proposed to reduce your taxes. Yeah, I just got back early Sunday morning, took the red eye back from Los Angeles International Airport from the Podcast Expo, which I'm calling the Big Tent Revival Meeting. Got to meet so many people when I was out there. People like Steve from the SG Show. He does a podcast with his son Sam. I encourage you to go take a listen to that. Got to meet David Lopez from his Behind the Wedding Mic show. Now, I have no interest in weddings and hope I won't for a long, long time. But I listen to his show anyway, and he's got a good thing going there. So if you're having a wedding or know someone who is, point him out David's way. Hey, David, I won the microphone. Can you believe it? David pointed me to the booth there where he won a microphone. Oh, I'll give him a plug. It's a Samson Q1U USB microphone. He said, yeah, Paul, just fill out your name and you'll win. And I saw all the tickets in the fishbowl there, and I thought, yeah, well, sure. Well, he touched her hand, and then he touched my hand, and then he put our hands together. And then I put the secret fold on the raffle ticket that I entered. And as I was in my car driving to on the highway to leave the place, I got this call.
Hi, Paul. How you doing? This is Brian over at the Samson Technologies booth, over at the podcast convention. We've just picked your name. You want a free Q1U USB. If you come on down, you must be present to win, so please stop by our booth before 5 o'clock and claim your prize. Thanks again, Paul.
So I looked at my watch, and it was 4:44, and I had to find a quick exit and turn around and get back there and hustle in the building before 5 o'clock to pick it up. But thanks, David, for pointing that out to me. Good to meet you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. A 12-step program for active investors. Step 8, Risk Ease, the language of risk. My name is Paul, and I'm an active investor. So I asked myself, why am I taking so many chances with my money? So I said to my broker, I can't be on your roller coaster ride no more. It's about time to be moving along. I can't stand the stocks coming in and going out like a big bad storm. Let me tell you this. This is for sure. My door won't revolve around you no more. I know some folks riding their money around. What are you looking for? You had it all at home. You keep looking for more.
I can't be on your roller coaster ride.
Riskies is the language that's used to discuss topics of risk, return, time, and correlation. High-risk exposure is like a scream-inducing roller coaster with soaring highs and stomach-churning lows. On the roller coaster, the greater the ups and downs, the greater the returns, measured in thrills. The same thing applies to investing. However, not everyone has the capacity for such exposure to risk. Because risk is the source of returns, investors would be better served to be more concerned with the risk level of their investments. If you don't understand the roller coaster, if you don't speak riskies, we're here to rescue you. We're here to bring you home. Is there somewhere you can rescue me? You probably want to know about Poker Night. We had a Hold'em tournament. Rob Walsh of Podcast 411 and Gary Leland of Podcast Pickle put on a Hold'em tournament, about 30 people in four tables in a presidential suite in the Marriott. You know, it's one of these things where about every 30 minutes, there's a knock on the door from security saying, you guys need to be more quiet, because we started at 10:30 and went until about 2 a.m., just as loud as could be. I think they rented rooms, or the rooms next to the presidential suite were empty, except for the one across the hall. Somebody joked and thought it might be Leo Laporte's room, but I don't know. Well, I did pretty good. I did not go out first. I was not the second one to go out. In fact, I think I made it until about 10th, 11th, 12th place, something like that. I was almost made it to the final table, but I was running low on chips, played way too conservatively, a lot of folding. I did win a couple of hands. I had ace, three of hearts. I stayed in. The flop came up two more hearts. I thought, holy cow, my chances are good of getting one more heart on the turn or on the river, but it didn't happen, so I was out. The winner was Michael from Keith and the Girl. He is a shrewd poker player. And I met Michael O'Zane from Manager Tools, you know, the one that won Best Business Podcast. And unfortunately for them and for me, they did not win Best Podcast overall. Because, you know, like I said, if they won the Best Podcast overall, then they wouldn't have been eligible to be Best Business Podcast next year. So I got to keep picking them off. You know, maybe one of these years when everybody else has been picked off, then I'll have my chance. But the surprise about meeting Michael O'Zane from Manager Tools was he lives in Northern Virginia, too, along with the Mommy Cast 4. You know, the mommies and the husbands. What a treat to meet these guys out there. And I am so hoping that we can get a Northern Virginia podcasters meetup going, where we get together and swap stories every once in a while. So if you are a Northern Virginia podcaster, or Washington, D.C. podcaster, or a Maryland podcaster, or a person who likes to travel a long way to meet other podcasters nonetheless, well, give me a call and we'll try to see what we can do about getting a quorum of podcasters together to swap stories. Yeah, I got to hear the keynote from Ron Moore of Battlestar Galactica, and he talked all about the way he does his podcast, and about his podcast, and he really didn't talk about the show much at all. I guess he really felt there he was invited to talk about podcasting at a podcasting expo. And just before the expo, I got to meet Mark Hebner of Index Funds Advisors. Go to his offices. They're moving to a new office in the same basic building complex. It's going to be very nice. But it's not one of these opulent things, you know, with, I don't know, gold trim everywhere and stuff. So it makes me feel like they're running a nice, tight operation there. They're not wasting money like you'd imagine some of these big brokerage firms would do. It makes me feel confident that he's not making too much money, if you know what I mean. And we talked about some of the things that he wants to do and some of the things that I may want to do in the future. And, you know, you might wonder, why is he sponsoring this show? There's probably a lot of folks who listen to this show that don't have the minimum amount of money that they say on their website that you need to get invested. He is considering lowering that minimum, by the way. But there's probably a lot of people who don't have that minimum to be able to get an account with Index Funds Advisors. So why is he sponsoring this show? Well, after talking with him, after meeting him, and after working with him for these many months, well, I firmly believe that he's on a mission to educate people so that they get the best investment returns for the amount of risk that they're taking. You know, it's not always in a financial firm's best interest for people to be educated. Can you imagine that? They'd rather you trust them and give them your money, and then they decide how best to use it at your expense. No, I truly believe that Mark Hebner and Index Funds Advisors are doing something good out there, and I encourage you to go to their website and take a look at all of their educational materials. And if you do meet the minimum investment requirements, by all means, I suggest you take a look at taking advantage of what they have to offer there.
No one ever knew, except for me and you. You said no one ever will, and told me not to tell anyone. And now I'm all torn up inside from what you long to hide. And then you ask me how I feel. I feel how anyone would feel. Go ahead, deny me, but you won't see me crying. Oh no, this secret oh so dear to me, will only hold it mystery until I'm just so tired and sick of always lying just to save you. Go on, deny me until I can't take it anymore. I could never understand.
That's Whitney Steele from the PodSafe Music Network with You Won't See Me Crying. I saw her perform that live at the Podcaster Poolside Chillout, sponsored by PodTrack at the Marriott at the Podcast Expo. Got some other artists that I saw live coming up later in the show. Here now is a Mad Money Machine first. After 41 shows, I have never played an audio clip from Jim Cramer's Mad Money. I've avoided copyright infringement like I've avoided drinking gasoline. I like my house and don't think it should belong to NBC. Well, I just gotta invoke the Fair Use Act and play something that was on last Wednesday's Mad Money show. Jim had a guest on, which itself is very unusual, and the guest was Jay Feely, the kicker for NFL's New York Giants. Jay said that before he got into the NFL, he spent 2 years working as a financial advisor, and he jokes that he's the resident financial advisor for his team. Cramer asked him some questions about what advice he gives, and I wanted you to hear this.
I mean, do you tell these guys diversification? Do you tell them real estate? What do you tell them?
Well, without question, diversification, because they don't have the knowledge base and they don't have the time to put in the work to try and educate themselves to know exactly which stocks and what to do. So we talk to them about diversifying and really trying to take advantage of the opportunities and vehicles that are there, like the 401k, maximizing that 401k, getting the match up to the match point that the teams match. And they do a great match in the NFL. They match it 2-for-1. You know, so put as much money as you can into that. And we have such a long time horizon from where we are right now into where we're going to use that money to be aggressive with it. You know, to have it 100% equities and have it diversified so that you limit your risk, you know, but you're taking advantage of the growth that's in the market.
Hey, he's speaking riskies. Well, did you hear that? Even he's talking about how they're having trouble getting the NFL players to put their money into 401ks. I know there was an article in the Wall Street Journal that same day. It's the title of it was Pitching 401ks to Generation Y is a Tough Sell. It says it's no small feat getting young people worried about more about student loans, credit card debt, and Saturday night to save for retirement. Only about a third of those in the 21 to 30 year old group contribute to their 401k, according to the Employee Benefits Research Institute. Says they're giving away iPods and having pizza parties to try to get people to think about tomorrow.
Now, I had the liberty of looking over some of the things you've been doing. It's very clear that you subscribe to my theory. You got to keep it interesting. You've got the bedrock mutual funds.
No question.
But you also have a little bit of speculation. Talk to me about the mix, why it's important to have something cooking speculative-wise and yet still have that blue-chip portfolio.
Well, you got to stay entertained. I mean, like the Eagles game, you know. I mean, if you guys are blowing us out, nobody would have been entertained. Everybody would have went home.
And we would have switched stations, too.
That's right. So, you know, we got to come back, and so that's what I do. I mean, I have my bedrock. I try and invest in mutual funds. I subscribe to modern portfolio theory, which says to have diversification and to reduce your risk coefficient when you can. You know, but also, you know, I try and invest in small cap stocks. I try and keep them under $20 a share so that I can have some volatility there so that I can make some decent money. And, you know, I put about 10% of my portfolio into that.
What do you say there?
You've got the bedrock mutual funds.
That's about the first time I've heard that on Mad Money. Well, maybe the second or third time I've heard that on Mad Money. But Mad Money, you know, is 99.44% speculation. And you rarely hear anything about the bedrock investments on the show. I guess he assumes that everybody knows about how to invest in the bedrock investments. Well, I don't think everybody does. And I think it's unfortunate. And boy, we need to teach people.
Eddie, is there any tip that you would give people who are your age, yeah, you're obviously a younger fella, who are just trying to figure out how to get started? Because this is who I realize is now my core audience.
Right. Well, number one, start early. Get involved. I mean, when I talk in high schools, I tell them, you know, if you put $2,500 today in a Roth IRA, right, when you go to retire, if it grows at the average annual rate of return, it's going to be almost $200,000. So start early. And the other thing is, you know, to be disciplined. I sit down with my wife at the beginning of the year. I say, okay, this is how much disposable income we're going to have. Let's put this much into savings. Let's put this much into investments. Let's put this much into, and we're going to spend. And then let's give this amount away. And then we stick to that. So, I mean, I think if you do that, then you're going to get a great solid.
You are cadre. You are exactly what I want. I hope everybody listens to you. And I thank you so much. Good luck for the rest of the season, my friend. Good luck. Thank you so much.
Excellent.
So how about that? Well, the entire segment from Mad Money with Jim Cramer with Jay Feeling on the show is available on the web, and you can view that, and I'll have a link to that in the show notes for this show, and I encourage you to go out and watch it. You'll actually get to see Jim Cramer trying to kick a field goal. And also it gives you a little bit of insight. They walk out of the Mad Money studio, out of the front of the CNBC building, and then out onto the lawn in front of the CNBC building. So it gives you a little bit of a behind-the-scenes glimpse into the Mad Money show. Oh, yeah, I got to see Brother Love there, too, with the enormous hair. If I had hair like that, I'd be a rock star, too. Let's go over and push play on the Mad Money Machine voicemail line at 206-734-4763.
Paul, this is David from Raleigh, North Carolina, and I got a suggestion for you. I see that the world's famous game Guru Roulette was on a break last show, and it seems that your tools in the crib is beginning to wane as well. So my suggestion is all those blogs that people recommended last show before, show number 39, I think that's great. However, I don't have the time to go through and see which ones are beneficial to me. So I thought it'd be a good idea for you to add a new segment and do a blog review of all the blogs that were submitted. And let me know what your criteria for judgment is on each. And that will help out us listeners tremendously. And as always, do a little shameless self-promote, and you can start by checking out my website at http://doveinvestmenttips.tripod.com, and that's D-O-V, investmenttips.tripod.com. Thanks, Paul. Keep up the good work, and I'll continue listening.
Well, I'm not sure about which blogs I recommend. I don't actually read a whole lot of blogs every day, but I do catch some. So here's what I'm going to do for you this time. First of all, I'm going to point you to reader.google.com, or actually they have it google.com/reader. That's a good blog reader using your web browser. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing is I'm going to make it easy for you to subscribe to all of the Kiplinger's, well, not all. All of the Kiplinger's must-read bloggers that have feeds. A couple of them don't have feeds. And a couple of extra blogs that I've thrown in there that I like to read. And I'll have that on the tools page of madmoneymachine.com as an OPML file. Outline Processing Markup Language, I think is what that stands for. But what you do is you download that file to your computer. And then when you go to the Google Reader, go next to Add Subscription, where it says Browse. Click on that. Then at the top right, you'll see Import Your Subscriptions. If you click that, it takes you to a page where you can select that OPML file that you have downloaded to your machine. Upload it, and you're subscribed to all the blogs that I'm subscribed to at the moment. And good luck wading through all of them. Holy cow, there's a lot of information out there, isn't there? Well, that's the tool for this week. Google Reader. And a whole slew of blogs that you can pull up in there and read. As with all the tools I've given you so far, this one's free.
Hey, my name is Jay. I'm about 14. I'm really interested in stocks, and I love your podcast. I'm in high school right now, and if there's any way you could let me know a good place to get started with stocks, I have a little over $100, and I'm trying to get started, and I read online that you can start with pretty much any amount of dollars. If you could tell me a good place to get started and how to get into the stock market, that'd be great. Thanks, I appreciate it.
Hey, Jay, thanks for calling, buddy. Man, you've got a big advantage over a lot of people in that you're starting at such a young age. I think when I was 14, all I invested in was the savings account at the bank. Looking at a stock page was about the same as looking at hieroglyphics. Well, Jim Cramer says that when you're young, that's the time to speculate because you've got a lot of time to make up your losses. On the other hand, it might be wise to give yourself a gift. Imagine that when you're 65, you discover that your grandfather, 50 years earlier, left you some money which has now turned into $1 million. Well, you have the chance to give yourself the same kind of gift. Now, I'm not promising that $100 is going to turn into $1 million in 50 years, but if you could find a way to put some money into a Roth IRA, like Jay Feely just mentioned on the Cramer Show, and let that money compound year after year tax-free. Oh my goodness. Just imagine what a gift that would be to yourself 50 years from now. You've got to make sure that the money you invest is money that you won't need soon. Say if you're going to college or needing to buy a house or something. Where can you invest as little as $100? Well, that's also a hard question because a lot of financial firms don't want to waste their time on you when there's a guy behind you in line who's got $100,000 or even $1 million to invest, and here you are taking up all their time for a measly $100, right? But since I'm not a financial advisor or financial planner or anything like that, take my suggestions with a grain of salt, and I open it up to the listeners on the Mad Money Machine voicemail line, 206-734-4763. Anybody know where somebody with $100 to invest can invest it wisely? Give us a call and help Jay out. And speaking of disclaimers, I think I'm going to eliminate the disclaimer at the end of the show. Just go to my website and click on the disclaimers tab if you want to know all the disclaimers about this show. Jimmy Golding from the PodSafe Music Network, and another artist I got to see play live at the Podcast Expo. I know you missed it last week. The world's favorite game, Guru Roulette. I've replaced the numbers on a roulette wheel with the names of investment gurus. I'll spin the wheel and roll the marble, and for the selected guru, I'll give you a little background on their investment philosophy. So here we go! And the winner this time on Mad Money Machine Show number 42, Big Tit Revival, is William Forsyth Sharp. William Sharp was born on June 16, 1934. He's a professor of finance emeritus at Stanford University's Graduate School of Business and the winner of the 1990 Bank of Sweden Prize in Economic Sciences in memory of Alfred Nobel. Well, he was one of the originators of the capital asset pricing model, and he created something called, that they now call, the Sharp Ratio for risk-adjusted investment performance analysis. When he published his capital asset pricing model in 1964, he decomposed a portfolio's risk into systematic and non-systematic risk. So what are these two risks? Systematic risk refers to the risks of the entire market as opposed to the risks specific to one stock. These market-wide risks are tied to large-scale risks like the risk of capitalism being a viable economic social system. Other risks, not specific to one stock, include war, recession, inflation, and government policies. Non-systematic risk refers to those risks that are specific to individual companies, lawsuits, fraud, competition, and other unique circumstances related to a company. The important fact for investors to understand is that there is no added expected return for non-systematic risk above the expected return for systematic risk. This is a very big idea that essentially says that all stocks have an expected return that is the same as the stock market or a market index fund return as a whole. However, those stocks have more uncertainty of the expected return. The incremental risk of one stock, non-systematic risk, is unrewarded risk and therefore should be avoided by investors. However, the systematic risk of capitalism is essentially the market risk and has returned an annualized return of about 10% per year for 78 years. And the Sharpe ratio is a measure of risk-adjusted performance of an investment asset, or a trading strategy. It's defined as the asset's return minus a expected return of another standard asset, such as a risk-free rate of return, like a bond or something, divided by the standard deviation of the asset returns. The Sharpe ratio is used to characterize how well the return of an asset compensates the investor for the risk taken. When comparing two assets, each with return R, against the same benchmark, the asset with the higher Sharpe ratio gives more return for the same risk. Investors are often advised to pick investments with high Sharpe ratios. Well, there's our guru for show 42, William F. Sharpe. Congratulations. You're the guru on Mad Money Machine show 42. Don't you just love it how when gold was over $600, $650, people were saying, oh, gold's going to go to $1,000 or $2,000. And then when oil got up to $70, people were saying, oil's going to go to $100 or maybe even $120, $150 a barrel. That's called recency bias. Well, I've already done the randomnumber.org thing, and number 3 came up, and the winner is MojoJojo103. So send me your address, and we'll ship you a copy of the book that everybody needs to read, Index Funds, the 12-Step Program for Active Investors, and especially read Chapter 8, Step 8, Risk Ease. You know, I can't fit all of the detail in that chapter in the 3-minute segment, but every person needs to know it. Stay subscribed to the Mad Money Machine, because I'm going to give away another book on the next show. A recent editorial in the Wall Street Journal, October 3rd, talked about how they're going to introduce a bill to index capital gains tax for inflation. Congressmen Pence and Cantor introduced this bill. You know, if your investments go up, let's say, at the rate of inflation over the course of, let's say, 3 years. Let's say you've got $100,000 invested and it goes up 4% per year. At the end of those 3 years, you sell it. Now you've got to pay taxes, 15% capital gains tax, at least, on the gain that you have in that investment. But in the net, your investment has not outpaced inflation. Therefore, you are a net loser for having invested your money in that way. Do you understand what I'm trying to say there? So you pay taxes on the gain, but your gain didn't beat inflation. So you end up, after those 3 years, with less money. Well, I hope this bill succeeds by indexing your capital gains. In other words, you wouldn't pay tax on the gains that don't beat the inflation. You would pay taxes on only the gains that are above the inflation rate. Let's hope something like that passes, even though it'd make taxes more complicated. Second thought, let's just scrap taxes altogether. Well, I can see by the clock on the wall that my time has run out. This has been Paul Douglas Boyer saying it takes money to make money, and it takes a big tent revival to make a Mad Money Machine. I'll see you next time. And don't forget our visit our sponsors at IFA.com. I'm going to play the entire song now from Carol Camille called Roller Coaster. See you later. from GarageBand, Carol Camille, and Roller Coaster.